This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Election Day is 8 weeks away. Opinion polls taken after last week's Republican convention show President Bush with a slight lead over Democrat John Kerry, but the race is still tight. Most analysts believe it will be decided on either side of a razor's edge in a handful of swing states. Most of these key states lie along the Mississippi and Ohio rivers, but the Southwest has emerged as a battleground, too. 4 years ago, Democrat Al Gore won New Mexico by a whisker. This time around, Arizona and Nevada could be up for grabs as well, and maybe even Colorado. The entire region is gaining population. The growth is spectacular in some places, and politics is changing. Later in the program, we'll follow up on Hurricane Francis and talk about insurance coverage in Florida, another swing state. But first, the Southwestern battleground. If you live in Arizona, New Mexico, Nevada, or Colorado, call and tell us the issues that matter to you this year, how the campaigns are doing, and what it'll take to win your vote come November. Joining us now is Jennifer Duffy. She's an analyst with the Cook Political Report. By the way, the number to call if you'd like to join us is 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK, and the email address is totn@npr.org. Now to Jennifer Duffy of the Cook Political Report. She's with us here in Studio 3A. Thanks very much for coming in.
Thank you.
New Mexico carries just 5 electoral votes in presidential elections, yet it's a focus this year. Why is that one state so important?
Well, for a couple of reasons. I think Gore's 365-vote margin in 2000 was a little bit unexpected. They elected in 2002 a Democratic governor, former Cabinet Secretary Bill Richardson. Growth in the state, particularly among Hispanic voters, it is just a state in play. And when you're going to have a race this close, five electoral votes may mean the difference.
And let's talk about some of those demographic shifts, particularly the growth in Latinos, not just in New Mexico, mm-hmm. but through this whole region.
There has been growth, and it's taken some time. The Hispanic population is no longer, concentrated in specific states. Arizona, New Mexico, Nevada, Colorado have all seen growth among Hispanics in the double and triple digits. Now, what the difference is here is that not all these Hispanics are eligible to vote. And those who are tend to vote in lower numbers than, say, whites or African Americans. In fact, in 2000, it was only about 45% of those eligible to vote compared to other groups, which was about 61%. So there is a big effort out there to get these eligible voters registered into the polls this election day.
Now, we say Latinos, do they vote as a bloc? They're generally Democratic.
Generally Democratic, and it really depends on where you live. And I think that Florida is the greatest example of this. I mean, Hispanics in Florida have always been considered more Republican because they tend
Hispanics
to be...
Hispanics in Florida another day. Let's stick to the Southwest.
Well, it's the best example, though, because you can see how it's changing so that you still have these pockets of conservative Hispanics, yet it's being watered down. And I think that that's certainly true in New Mexico and Arizona, for example. Now, the assumption many Republican strategists have is that a lot of these Hispanics, the closer to Texas they are, and had seen Bush as governor and now as president, tend to be more supportive of him than they would be of other Republicans. This is going to be the election that proves that. In fact, I think it may have been more true in 2000 than 2004, but we're going to see.
Now, there's not just Latinos are moving into this area. The explosion in population, particularly in Nevada, is tremendous.
Well, Nevada is interesting. We say in Nevada that you need to reintroduce yourself to voters there every 2 years because they're different voters. They estimate that... for example, in a senator's term, about 500,000 new voters can arrive as other people leave. It's a very, very fluid population. There has been an increase in Hispanic voters there as well, which is what most Republican strategists believe is the issue for them this election cycle. I know that there's a lot of talk about Yucca Mountain.
That's where the proposal is to store nuclear waste, one place in the whole country.
The one place in the whole country, exactly, that has been really an issue for a decade or more, and Bush is responsible really for deciding that it would be the site, the repository site, and getting those getting that on track. But having said that, Republicans say they don't dismiss that as an issue. What they do say is the kinds of voters moving into the state, especially Hispanics, is really more problematic for them. The last poll I saw in Nevada had the president ahead by about 3 points, but that, you know, means that it's even.
Our number again, if you'd like to join us, 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Our email address is totn@npr.org. Our guest right now is Jennifer Duffy of the Cook Political Report. Later in the program, we'll be speaking with a Republican senator from New Mexico, Pete Domenici, and the governor of Arizona, Democrat Janet Napolitano. But let's talk to some listeners as well. Sandra joins us on the line now from Denver, Colorado.
Hi, Neil. Great show. I'm 39. I was a white-collar professional in the telecom industry until the crash of 2001. I used to make six figures, and now I work four jobs, and I can't even make half of what I used to. We have horrible job growth here in Denver, less than 2.5% last month. And the economy is the main issue in Colorado because a lot of technical people who came here for the telecom boom are having to move because they can't find jobs to pay for their mortgage. And I think that's a big issue in Colorado of who's going to vote for Bush, who squandered away all of our wonderful budget surplus, versus Kerry, who really hasn't given us a formula for how he's going to turn the nation's economy around.
Sounds like you're not quite figured out where you're going to go yet.
No, I haven't. Who's going to give me a good job that I can have my own retirement fund so I don't have to depend on Medicare, Medicaid when I retire in about 20 years?
Well, Sandra illustrates a point. Colorado, closer than many analysts believed going into this election year, in play, they think. But let's talk about that economic issue that she's talking about. How big a factor is that?
I think, you know, the economy is huge. When you look at national polling, when you look at polling by state, there are very, very few states in which the economy is not the top issue, closely followed by Iraq and terrorism.
So,
I mean, this is, you know, I think Americans will always vote their pocketbooks. They will always vote the economy. So this is not really a surprise, given what the economy has been like for the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm. Sandra,
to go with that, sorry to jump back in, it's a lot of us have lost our health care insurance, and we're taking crappy jobs that barely pay our mortgage just for the health care insurance. And so you get stuck in that quagmire of working 40 to 50 hours in a very low-paying job so I can have health care insurance versus trying to find a good job that I can contribute back in taxes and everything else to get the economy going. And I don't think they look at the bigger picture of, okay, give me health care, give me a good salary, and I'll help grow the economy again. Those jobs are gone from Colorado, and I don't think they're going to come back.
Mm-hmm. So what are you waiting for? Are you going to watch the debates?
Yeah, but I don't know. George W. seemed to squander away all the money that Clinton liked, and I didn't vote for Clinton either. But nobody died when Clinton lied, as the bumper sticker says.
Sandra, thanks very much for the phone call.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. That's one way to look at it. The region, economics, obviously a factor in every state as it is nationwide. I mean, obviously we focus on the number of manufacturing jobs lost in the state of Ohio. A lot of people talk about that as a key swing state. It certainly is. But this region, is the economy growing as quickly as all of that population growth?
It depends where you are. I think that Sandra's point is well taken. You know, the tech boom had started to spread to places like Colorado when it went bust. There were a lot of white-collar jobs lost. These are not necessarily manufacturing jobs. But in certain parts of Arizona, the economy is doing quite well and growing, and there are jobs to be had, and particularly in things like construction. I mean, Arizona was never known for its manufacturing base. So that is true. You know, why is Colorado close? Part of it's the economy, and part of it is the population growth. Not only the growth itself, but where it's growing. Mm-hmm. And that tends to be mostly the suburbs of Denver, And those voters tend to be a little bit more Democratic than they are Republican.
Surprisingly close senatorial race in Colorado this year as well.
With a Hispanic nominee going full circle. That will be a very close race.
Let's get another caller on the line. Heather is with us from Reno, Nevada.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I was calling regarding Yucca Mountain in Nevada. In the 2000 campaign, Bush had promised us that Yucca Mountain would not be approved unless, you know, there was scientific evidence to prove it was safe. It currently sits on an earthquake vault, and the people of Nevada don't want Yucca Mountain. And within a year of his winning the election, he approved funding to continue the construction of Yucca Mountain.
John Kerry has come out and said, not on my watch. Is that a make-or-break issue for you, Heather?
For me, it is, because Bush, I feel like he lied to me. What's surprising in northern Nevada, there aren't more people kind of upset about what I saw as a bold-faced lie. Northern Nevada is very conservative, and there are people here who are still huge Bush supporters, even given the fact he, I feel, lied to the voters of Nevada back in 2000.
Are some of the issues that they care about, the old prairie fire, Reagan issues, range and sportsman issues, guns, that sort of thing?
Guns, a lot of hunters, NRA people up in northern Nevada, which, you know, it's a way of life here. Socially, and it's funny because Nevada, you know, has legalized prostitution in some of the counties, but socialist issues, they are very conservative. But I do have hope for Kerry Edwards. This is the first time I've actually seen a Democratic presidential candidate on bumpers up around northern Nevada, and that's never happened before. I'm 42, and so I have hope that Kerry Edwards' message is getting out here more so than in previous elections.
All right. Thanks very much for the call, Heather. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
And she talks about that division between southern Nevada and the northern part of the state. Really, it's a division between Clark County, Las Vegas,
right,
and the rest of the state.
Absolutely. You know, and if northern Nevada were more populated, then probably Republicans would feel better about their chances here in Nevada. I don't think the caller was wrong about some voters feeling that the president lied to them on Yucca Mountain. But we could have an hour-long discussion about Yucca and whether it was going to happen regardless, and what is sound science and who is the what is the judge of sound science. But nevertheless, a state that has not been very close in presidential elections recently is going to be a squeaker.
Mm-hmm. And whether the issue of Yucca Mountain and that kind of that basket of issues is going to be a make or break when you have the economy and a war going on.
Absolutely.
Let's see if we get a quick call in from Doug. Doug's calling from the Bronx, New York, not part of the Southwest, Doug.
No, it's not. It's not the Southwest Bronx either. But I was wondering about how much will immigration or migration from Mexico, migrant workers from Mexico, play in this? I've heard it said that there are some far right wingers that are disappointed with Bush, that they feel he's been too lax with that issue.
All right, Doug, let's
get to the southern border. Also,
We only have time for one of these.
Well, he's kind of ruined the relations with Fox that he supposedly was such good friends with.
Okay, a quick answer, if you would.
The quick answer is that there is a conservative element of the Republican Party who does not like the president's immigration reform, but I don't think that will send them into the Democratic camp.
Okay, Doug, thanks very much for the call. I'm sorry to cut you off, but we're running out of time for this segment. We're talking about swing states in the southwestern United States. If that's where you live or you have issues that you care about in that part, even if you live in the Bronx, give us a phone call. Our number is 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. The email address is totn@npr.org. We'll be back after a short break. I'm Neil Conan. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Today, our focus is on the states of Colorado, New Mexico, Arizona, and Nevada, otherwise known as the southwestern swing states. We want to hear from listeners who live there. Call and tell us what the issues will be that matter to you on November the 2nd. Our number is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. The email address is totn@npr.org. Jennifer Duffy is with us from the Cook Political Report. And before we go to another guest, I just wanted to ask you another issue about Colorado, is that there's an amendment proposed on the ballot this year to change the way the state apportions its electoral votes. What is that, and why might it matter this year?
Well, it is an amendment exactly as you described it. Instead of a winner-take-all, which is it is in most states in the country, 48 of them right now, this would apportion the Electoral College votes by the vote the candidates got. Now, interestingly enough, people's first inclinations was, oh no, this would be very damaging for the president. But in fact, this is something that Kerry might not want to see either. I mean, here Democrats have their first opportunity in a long time to win Colorado, and they may not get the whole pie. They may only get part of it. The interesting thing about this amendment is it would go into effect immediately. So if it is approved on November 2nd, when the Electoral College meets, so to speak, the votes would be apportioned.
The votes taken on that same day. The amendment says it's retroactive, including this year's vote.
Exactly.
Now, the first thing that whoever wins in the state is going to do is to take that to court.
Perhaps. There has been some discussion of that. Frankly, I don't know why both sides just don't do it right now. It would save a lot of grief, but they are not. They have pledged to wait.
Well, joining us now is the governor of Arizona, Janet Napolitano, a Democrat. She joins us from her office in Phoenix, Arizona, and it's good to have you back on Talk of the Nation, Governor.
No, thank you very much.
Polls show President Bush in the lead in your state. He has a strong partner in John McCain, who gave such a good speech on his behalf at the convention there in New York. How does Democrat John Kerry win your state come November?
I think in the end it's all going to come down to field work and getting out the vote. And in our state, there will be a heavy vote by mail. People will actually start voting a month before November 2nd. Probably at least, we predict between 50 and 55% of the voters will vote then. So everything is geared for that. That'll be right during the debates. It'll be right after the first debate, assuming that President Bush agrees to debate. So there's a lot that's going to happen this next month.
And obviously, you're hanging a lot on that debate then.
Well, that is key, but there are a lot of other things that are going on as well, and some of them, we can't even predict right now. We live in such an unpredictable world, but there's a lot of activity. In fact, it was kind of funny. The other day, I was home. In my home, we don't have a governor's mansion in Arizona, and there was a knock on the door, and it was some folks campaigning for John Kerry to get people lined up to request their mail ballots, and they were actually from California. They were brought over in busloads from California to help with the get out the vote in Arizona. So that's the kind of thing that's going on all over the country in these battleground states.
You talk about the big vote by mail. Does that suggest that there are concerns about the regular voting machines, whatever machines you guys use there in Arizona?
No, we've had vote by mail now for a number of years, and what happens with vote by mail is it's so convenient that once you do it once, you tend never to go back to having to go to a polling place. And so every other year, each election cycle, we find a greater percentage of the votes actually being cast by mail. Not a greater turnout necessarily. I mean, the turnout tends to remain the same, but the split of votes between Election Day and the vote by mail is different.
We have a caller in from Arizona. Eric is calling now from Flagstaff.
Hi, Governor Napolitano. How are you today?
Good. Hi, Eric.
My call is just regarding, I think the most successful things you did in running for governor was you offered businesses and the citizens of this state solutions to our problems that we could see. And how would you suggest Senator Kerry do the same thing in his
campaign? I'll give you that word there, Eric.
Thank you very much.
Well, a couple things. One is, as he said in his acceptance speech at the Democratic Convention, all the detail you want in terms of his plans, all the detail is contained if you go to his website and click on. But, I always find it great when a candidate just says, here's the problem. We have a problem that healthcare premiums are too high for working people. Here's what I plan to do about this, and here's how it will impact the average working family. And just keep, you know, saying, I have a plan, I have a plan, I have a plan, and then draw the contrast with the president who's been in office 4 years and nothing has happened. So they're obviously either hasn't been a plan, or if there was a plan, it hasn't been an effective plan. Arizona voters are very, as Eric illustrates, are very pragmatic. They want to kind of know what you're going to do.
I've heard a lot of talk, not only on the economy, but a lot of people say, who are Republicans, and they're not happy with Bush here in Arizona. They say, okay, well, Kerry says he criticizes Bush for what he's done in Iraq, but he hasn't given us a concrete solution. And I see that as one of the key elements for his success or failure.
That's right. I think that's a good point, and it really is. You know, when you're trying to knock off an incumbent, you need to go out there and say, "I will do a better job, and this is how I will do it." Mm-hmm. And that message is still needs to get across.
Eric, thanks very much for the phone call.
Thank you, Neil.
Governor, the president carried Arizona last time by a little over 6%. Right. That's a fairly sizable margin. What's changed?
Well, a couple of things. One is in the last presidential in 2000, Vice President Gore made a very early decision not to contest Arizona. So there was no campaign here. There were no headquarters. There was no staff. There was no field plan. There was no media buy. All of the things that we now have with the Kerry campaign, because they are contesting Arizona and they're contesting it very heavily. So that's one big change. And another one is just the demographics of the state. I mean, Arizona is probably, it and Nevada are probably the two most rapidly growing and changing states of the United States. The population is ever more moderate. It's ever more Hispanic. You know, the Democrats lose on registration by about 5 points now. 25% of the voters are now registered independents. So in terms of numbers, it's a battleground state. It no longer is a lockdown conservative Republican state that it once was.
And how do Democrats, and particularly Latino Democrats, answer the charge of, from the president and his advisors that Democrats take those votes for granted? They put them in their column and then don't do enough to deliver for those Latino voters.
Yeah, I would say that there's active campaigning going on in the Hispanic community, in Hispanic media. It's an incredibly important community to reach out to. And those votes, I can tell you for a fact, I don't take them for granted. I don't know any Democrat in Arizona that would take a Hispanic vote for granted.
Okay. Governor Napolitano, thank you for being with us. We appreciate your time today.
Thank you much.
Janet Napolitano, a Democrat, is the governor of the state of Arizona. She joined us on the phone from Phoenix, and we appreciate her time today. With us now on the phone from his office here in Washington is Pete Domenici, a Republican senator from the state of New Mexico. And thank you for joining us today.
Oh, thank you.
As we mentioned before, President Bush lost New Mexico by, 366 votes, and they say Florida was close.
That's right.
How does he win your state this year?
Well, he was down about 6 or 8, 9 points, and then the last 4 or 5 weeks he gained, and then a very, very accurate poll, which usually picks him right, over the weekend published a report that President Bush has gained and passed. He's up 3 points. The two Republican House members, one had a close race, Heather Wilson, and she's up by 6 points. The other Republican is going away in the Southern District, like maybe 27 points. So we got a lot of work to do for the president, but I think there's a real, real probability we can win this. I do want to comment, I know the governor from Arizona pretty well. And I know you didn't ask me about a couple of things you asked her, but it is interesting. You know, you asked her, how do you do it? And, for instance, she said, you tell them a problem, you tell them a solution. The problem is on such things as health care or pharmaceutical costs, it's one thing to get up like Kerry did yesterday and said premiums are too high, as part of the health care problems that Bush causes. The problem is neither he nor no one else has a solution to that problem. It's good to say I have a plan to do better, but what is it? I mean, that cost is set by an independent agency, and it's based upon the cost of health care, of prescription drugs. So, she's right, but it isn't enough to say he didn't do it, I have a plan. the economy isn't working, so I have a plan. But, you know, the people want to know what the plan is, and is it, you know, workable? So, having said that, let's get back to New Mexico.
All right. Well, I understand the Latino vote in New Mexico will be extremely important, as it is throughout the region and indeed throughout the country.
Yes.
You spoke to an Hispanic outreach group at the Republican convention last week. What do you say to attract Hispanic voters to the Republican Party?
Well, look, if there is a state in the union where Hispanic votes are important, it's New Mexico, because there are more Hispanics in New Mexico as the percentage of our population than there is any state in the union. And this same poll that I told you about has the percentage of Hispanics that voted, that are going to vote for President Bush, and also the percentage of Democrats that are going to vote for him, and it's pretty good. I think it's around 31% of the Hispanics that are going to vote for him, and that's a very good figure. It's kind of understood that if he can get 25% of the Democrats, which I think he's very close to, and if he can get a third of the Democrat of the Hispanics, then it looks like he could win. Now, 32% of the Hispanics, according to the poll, will vote for the president. If we can hold those, that's terrific. Now, there's one smaller group that's important in New Mexico. That's Indians, between the Navajos and the Pueblos. They're not separated out in this poll.
Mm-hmm.
And there are more Indians in New Mexico, percentage-wise, than any state in the union.
Let me bring in a caller we have on this question.
Yeah, sure.
Orly joins us now from Farmington, New Mexico.
Yeah, hi.
Hello. I live in Farmington, which, as you know, is sort of on the
sure, I know. I'm Pete Domenici. How are you?
I'm fine. And we are well aware up here that every single vote counts. And we tend to see our Native American neighbors as being pretty much disenfranchised from the whole, you know, political system. I think that though many, many or more are registering to vote this year and are planning to vote, and I'm wondering how you plan to, what you think they're going to do and how you think you're going to sway them over to the Republican Party, because I don't see that happening.
Well, look, I don't know what you mean about disenfranchised, because there's nothing much different this year than there was 4 years ago. They all know they can vote. They register a lot, heavy, and then we see what happens on election day. All I know is that more than a few leaders have said they're for a Kerry. But, you know, we know some of them out there, and they're not nearly as convinced about Kerry. And I think what we're going to do is really work on getting some very prominent ones to Navajos and others, Indian people, to suggest to the Indians that President Bush has been a very good president for the Indian people. For instance, we could actually call him the Indian education president, and that would be fair. He has caused to be built more Indian schools than the BIA, that is national schools. He's caused more of them to be built in 3.5 years than any president in any comparable time. Diabetes, which is the scourge of the Indian people, it's gone from $50 million a year 5 years ago to $150 million a year. And that means we're taking care of thousands and thousands, mostly Navajo Indians, that we weren't taking care of before. We can go on, and we just got to get that message out. We're going to try, and along with some named Indian leaders, we're gonna do our share. Thank you.
Orly, thanks very much for the phone call.
Uh-huh.
Okay. We're talking with Pete Domenici, Republican senator from New Mexico, and also with Jennifer Duffy of the Cook Political Report about the Southwest political battleground in this coming election. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And Senator Domenici, I wanted to ask you another question about the president's policy, and this in terms of immigration. He has, as you know, proposed a major change in policy. Some thought it might help win him over Hispanics. What's happening with that in your state?
Well, look, the point of it is a lot of senators talk about immigration. The president has. He has been pretty forthright. It's very controversial and frequently misunderstood. The president's plan, some say, will give immigrants that come over here under his plan an extra benefit by making them citizens ahead of others. Not at all. He says they can come over and be legitimate workers with cards and stay for a long time and go back and forth, but never does he suggest that they can become citizens at any time by anything that will vest as a result of this policy. Now, what happens in the Senate and in the House, that there's a lot of big talk, but when it comes down to putting it together and voting on it, preconceived ideas, people who want to interpret what the president's talking about the way they want to, just causes it to die. Hmm. I think it's going to take the beginning of next year and having a president with 4 years to really go after it and establish a broad base of objective helpers, maybe a commission or something even stronger, and try to solve it. The reality is, even as I speak of it, there are many, many people in the West, including my state, Arizona, and others, that just don't even like what I'm talking about because they just don't want any immigration. But the truth of the matter is, we got it. It's coming anyway because they're too poor and we're pretty rich. So we don't know. Those who oppose don't know what to do about that, mm-hmm. except to complain. So I don't think it's the president's fault, but I do think it's a kind of a monumental, complex, and most difficult problem.
Senator Domenici, we thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you. Nice of you to have me on.
Pete Domenici, Republican senator from the state of New Mexico. Janet Napolitano of Arizona was with us earlier. Jennifer Duffy, in the limited time we have left, they presented very different pictures of how it's going to go over the next 8 weeks. What do you think?
Well, yes, they did, and they both raised some very interesting points. Certainly Governor Napolitano and the tremendous amount of effort by the Democratic Party in that state for the first time in a long time. Senator Domenici talking about Native Americans and the importance of that vote. Democrats discovered in 2002 that Native Americans will vote, and they will vote Democratic. They did that in the South Dakota Senate race. So that has been a big focus of their activity in states with high Native American populations. I think that the two of them, in listening to the two of them, it comes down to how we started this program. It is going to be a close race in this region.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Jennifer Duffy, an analyst for the Cook Political Report. She was with us here in Studio 3A. When we come back from a short break, we'll get the nuts, bolts, and deductibles on the post-Francis recovery in Florida. For many residents, their first phone call after the storm probably went to the insurance agent. But the good hands of your neighbors may bring less relief than they used to. We'll hear why and take your calls on hurricanes and insurance companies. Give us a phone call, 800-989-8255. If your computer's up, dial us in, TOTN at NPR.org. I'm Neil Conan. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News.